You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Kramer, and you're listening to The Sweep. Everybody needs a
place to call their home. Oh, I have sizzle. Everybody needs someone to call their own. Even when you're lonely, no, you're not alone. You're one of us, one of us, one of us, one of us.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
What is going on, Pack Nation? We are back with a win. That's a hell of a way to start off the season. Beating arguably our biggest rival, I would say, in the NFC. And now we get a shot at those 28-3 Falcons. Yes, I said it, the 28-3 Falcons. That's not their record, folks. If you don't know what it is, just Google it. It's all over the place. So you could say you got the Falcons, you got the Seahawks. The bird is definitely the word. And you know what else is the word? Real quick. I don't know if you know this, but this is our 30th episode. 30 episodes. It's pretty great. I'm so excited about that. I can't thank the listeners, especially for keeping us alive. I love you guys. And, of course, our sponsors. So let's get into saying what's going on. Before we get into all the news and happenings around 1265 Lombardi, let's give a shout-out to those sponsors, the ones that made us a success and giving us this 30th episode. First off, Pride and Glory Clothing Company. It is the hottest spot to get some authentic, one-of-a-kind gear honoring legendary left guard Fuzzy Thurston. He's a pretty great guy, by the way. And your Green Bay Packers. Our other sponsor, Go Pack Go, I Bleed Green and Gold Facebook group. You guys, I'm not kidding. This is the best place on social media for any Packer fans. It's run by Mr. Jim Cooper and his trusty moderators. You guys, this is the hottest group on Facebook. Tons of giveaways, news stories, fan shares. You know what? And the thing that I like the most about it, no negativity. All positive. If you're negative, kick rocks. If you're positive, stay in there. That's what we do. And seriously, you guys, 30,000 plus members. 30,000 plus members. That's insane. So you guys, check them out. Go to Facebook. Check out that little search button up top. Type in Go Pack Go. It's the first one that'll come up, I promise, because it is the number one group out there. And last but not least, finally, the Ground Round in Neenah. It is the place to go in the Fox Valley for any sporting event, business meeting, or just fun family get-togethers. They have awesome food. Burgers are off the chain. My wife, Amanda, had the open-faced burrito a few days ago. It was delicious. I know because I sniped a little bit of it. You know what? Hey, you snooze, you lose on some food, baby. You can't keep leftovers in the fridge for too long. I love the place. We actually just had our fundraiser silent auction there for the sweep a few days ago. It was an awesome success. Had some great items donated by some of our sponsors and also some Packer alumni. It was a fun night. We had a great time, very successful. I love everyone that came out there. So thank you. Thank you to the Ground Round for letting us host it there. You guys have been nothing but generous for us. We did really good. You know, we had a successful night. We can finally get Blaine a new mic, which, you know, moving on up. But I promise you all of the fans and listeners that even though he's getting a new mic, he will still have that beautiful Wisconsin accent. And speaking of Mr. Blaine Hornes, what's going on, my man?
How's it going, Freddie? You know, it's
going.
It's, you know, on to week two. I don't want to dwell on a big win in Green Bay and Seattle, but it still feels good. You know, anytime we can take it to the crusty old sea pigeons from out west, it's a good feeling. So it's a good start, and on to the next. It's not going to be any relaxation time because it's another NFC rival. Green Bay is fortunate enough to have a schedule this year that they probably are going to play the three best teams in the NFC, probably, I mean, along with Green Bay, the three best teams that have a chance at a Super Bowl run, in my opinion, between Seattle, Atlanta, and Dallas. So it's a good test early in the season, and they'll get Dallas a few weeks down the road, and that'll be another test for us. So it should be good. And it's a good kind of a measuring stick to find out where we're at early in the season. So it was good to get one under the belt, and hopefully we can get through week two and come out 2-0.
Yeah, I think if we can get through these first two games with a W, that's huge. So the win against Seattle, it wasn't the prettiest, but in the long run, I always say from my dad, a win is a win. No matter what, a win is a win. And in 16 weeks, when we look back on the schedule, I will guarantee that neither one of us will be like, yeah, but that was the game that we didn't quite run the ball very good. Like, no, we're going to see the W, and that's all that's really going to matter. That's usually what does. So if we have to win in maybe not the sexiest way, it is what it is, as long as the end outcome is what it is. So let's get into a little bit about that game. Like I said, I didn't think it was the sexiest, but it was the first game. It seemed like we had a little bit of rust to kick off the tires and kind of get them going or whatever. Right in the beginning, second half looked a lot better. There's some injuries that obviously happen a lot on the offensive line. Brooks as well, Randall as well. But I thought some players played really great. I know that there's a big concern out there with amongst a lot of the fans, a lot of people I've talked to, who were concerned with Rodgers having to scramble and getting hit as much as he did. I know you have thoughts on that, Blaine. What would you think about that?
I kind of just want to tell Pack Nation to relax a little bit, not to be too cliche with some Aaron Rodgers quotes, but there's a little tiny bit of concern there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say that the O-line is, A-plus, number one. We're right on track where we want to be, mid-season form. But like you said earlier, it is week one. We started a backup right tackle. That's never a really good situation to have to be in when you have, a consistent offensive line and one of your top guys goes down in the middle of the preseason and you're starting a new guy there. So I think that's something that will add value later on down the line. Some experience against a good hell of a team. Seattle's defense is no joke, especially their front seven. So that's a good test for us. And, I'm not ripping on Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. As a matter of fact, it's probably a compliment to him because, he hangs onto the ball a lot longer than a lot of other quarterbacks. Now, the reason he does that is because he doesn't want to throw into coverage. That's the reason why he doesn't throw by that many picks. That's why every year he'll throw 40 touchdowns and maybe 5 or 6 picks all season. He hangs onto the ball, and he'd rather lose 5, 6 yards on a sack than throw a pick. And it's going to happen. I mean, we have one of the best offensive linemen groups for pass protection. Bar none, there's no argument about it. I don't care how many sacks they give up. At least half of the sacks on last Sunday against Seattle, I could potentially put on Aaron Rodgers for hanging onto the ball, because there's times where he had 3 seconds to get rid of the ball and he's hanging on to it because his guys downfield are covered and he'd rather take a sack and throw a pick. So everybody just relax. It's one game. It was against one of the best front sevens in football in the Seattle Seahawks. And remember, some of those sacks are taken by design because Aaron Rodgers takes care of the football the way he does.
There was a little bit of a concern with me. I kind of noticed it during the game, and then someone actually at my work kind of brought it up again, and then it kind of stuck with me. There were a lot of times and a lot of the plays that Montgomery and then Williams at one point too, a few times I should say actually, came out of the backfield and they were wide on little short hooks and some swings, a lot of checkdowns basically, and he didn't choose to go there, which I thought was kind of strange. And it just, I think, adds to your point that he was kind of looking downfield and he was looking like he kind of wanted to stick it to him a little bit more than just kind of drive the ball down the field, like, chip play, which I'm not going to be mad about because I think we all like to see big plays. But there were a few times that I would have probably, pulled him aside and said, hey, look at your check down, go through your progressions fully, not just, maybe between your two. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely nothing to freak out about. I will say relax to the Pack Nation as well on the defensive side. There's a darn big handful of people that are getting it a little twisted with our defense. I know Seattle is Seattle. They are remarkable on defense, but they're not much to write home about offensively. I don't think that our defense played bad. I don't think they are Super Bowl contending defense either right now. I think they did their job. I mean, I was impressed for the most part. But it was nothing that I was like, oh my God, here it is. This is the D. This is the D we've been waiting for years. Like, no, come on. Like, we weren't really going against much. I mean, Seattle's offensive line is just god awful. Their receiving core is not anything too exciting. So, I thought they played good, and I was good to see a couple players. I liked the way Clark played, and the DBs I thought did really well. So, but yeah, first game, guys.
Yep, for sure.
A little jacked up. I get it. Believe me, I did probably 10 push-ups before the game because I was so excited. I didn't do any push-ups before the game. I'm just kidding. But I was that excited, and I get it. And you get done, and we've been waiting for months to do this, to overanalyze, and this is what we now get to. So this is part of that. So I do want to say, like I had mentioned a little bit, there's been some injuries, offensive line, Ahmad Brooks. I didn't really get a chance to watch Brooks. I kind of forgot, to be honest. Did you see him? Did you see anything good, anything bad? Or was he just kind of hidden in there?
I'm not going to say he was just hidden because I was kind of looking for it a little bit. And he didn't have any big, like, holy cow, wow you splash plays. But it seemed to me that he was doing his job. And you know what? I mean, that as far as the defense goes as a whole, we don't really need a whole lot of splash anymore. And we've kind of had those players that would have a game or two here and there that would make those plays. And I think we still have those in HaHa. And I think Nick Perry and Clay are going to do that every once in a while. And maybe a couple of the other DBs are going to make a nice pick and a nice return. But these other guys are brought in to be role players and to just come in and be like an AJ Hawk type where they do their job. They fill their gaps. They play their assignments in coverage. And they do what they need to do to keep the defense structured. And I think that's the biggest thing that we're going to see out of some of these free agents that we've brought in, especially a guy like Brooks who has some experience playing some of these teams. If anybody watches as many of the press conferences from Mike McCarthy and some of the other coaches when they do their media days, they preach the fundamentals like crazy. And you listen to Edgar Bennett and Joe Witt and some of the other defensive guys, you know, Edgar Bennett's offensive, but they preach and it's constant. You hear fundamentals, fundamentals. If we focus on the fundamentals, we're going to be okay. And I unfortunately can't agree any more than I do. And that's going to be the key in this defense. And just to add to your point about not freaking out about the defense being really good, the defense does not have to be really good. They just have to be a little bit better than average, somewhere between the 10 to 15 rank. If they can rank between 10 and 15 in the NFL defensively in scoring, in yards given up, and in turnovers, that's good enough. We can't forget who we have on the other side of the ball and some of the other weapons we have. We're not going to win a Super Bowl based off of our defensive play. We're never going to be the Baltimore Ravens in the early 2000s where our defense carries us all the way to the chip. You know, I mean, it's not realistic. It's not what's going to happen. We are an offensive-based team. We are a pass-first team. That's the way it is, and it's going to be the way it is until we have a quarterback issue, which luckily we haven't had to have for 30-plus years. But like I said, if the defense can rank somewhere just a little bit above average, that will be enough. That's the Super Bowl defense we need.
Let's check out a word from our sponsor quick.
Hey, all. It's Ryan from the Ground Round in Neenah. Hello, September. Hello, fall weather. And hello, football season. I'm here to tell you that when it comes to game days, Ground Round is the place to be. We have 21 TVs, so no matter where you are sitting, you'll have a perfect view of the game and won't miss any of the action. And for you fantasy football fans out there, 21 TVs means you can keep up on all the scores and highlights from around the NFL. In addition to the great seating in the sports lounge, we have food and drink specials like $8 pitchers of Lineys beer, half-price bar bites, free Packer touchdown shots, happy hour 7 days a week, and the famous Ground Round Cheesehead Flake Hat. That means one lucky person will drink free each time the Packers opponent is penalized. Win or lose, you're going to go home happy as we raffle away gift certificates and other prizes on our spin-to-win wheel during game breaks, and that includes Packer jerseys. New this year, game day meat raffles. If your favorite spot to watch the game is on your recliner, we can still help you out and provide you with that bar food you crave. We deliver our full menu 7 days a week with everything from soup to salad to wings and burgers. If your favorite spot to watch the game is Lambeau Field, we've got you covered there too. For only $20, you can take Ground Round Tailgate Bus to and from each home game. The bus leaves 3 hours before kickoff and returns promptly after the game. Call us at 725-1010 to reserve a seat today. Thanks for listening, but now let's get back to the sweep.
All right, thanks, Bally. Let's move on to something we haven't done in quite a while. Pretty excited about it. I guess it kind of feels like we're officially back in the season. And let's hit it with our Playboy.
Yeah.
And Schoolboy.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber.
You suck, you jackass.
Oh, hell no.
You blew it! You done fucked up now!
You suck!
Of the week. So, if you don't mind, I'll kick off the Playboy.
Pretty much since last offseason, he's kind of been the face for the Packers. And I'm going with Mike Daniels for my Playboy. He kind of dominated the game and set the tone defensively. I think he might be a key factor going forward, especially in this week's game. If we can keep getting disruption from the core middle of our front seven there, I mean, it just takes so much pressure off of everybody else, from the outside linebackers putting a pass rush on and the middle linebackers in the run game, and the safeties as well in the run game. So, yeah, my first school Playboy, sorry, for the season is Mike Daniels.
Yeah, that, I mean, he was just ridiculous. He completely owned the game. Watching him bull rush the center and these guards was just, it looked like he was playing a JV high school team. It is amazing.
And I don't know if the casual fan or even some of the people that are diehards, for a three technique in this style of defense to have that big of an impact on a game is huge. It's a big deal that those guys are in there to eat up blockers. I mean, in this style of defense, that's their main goal. So when you get some production and a stat line like Mike Daniels had like this, it's a big deal. And that's why people are making it a big deal. And that's why he's my Playboy. And it's, you know, it doesn't get any better than that. That's about as much as a guy in that position in this style of defense can do. And if he can just do half of that in half of the games this year, he's going to be an all-pro. He's going to be a first-team all-pro. And I'm glad that we have him under contract for a few more years, because his price for his next contract every week that he does stuff like this is just going through the roof. He's going to be one of the highest-paid D tackles in the league. His next contract, no questions about it.
He deserves it because he is incredible and he works really hard.
And he's a leader.
Yeah, he's an absolute leader. And I mean, you hit it on the head. I mean, the position he plays, honestly, on the entire roster, is probably the most unglorious position there is, because his job is to basically just be a guy that takes up space, and instead he is completely flipping the script and he's just attacking, and it's unbelievable. I love him. I've loved him for a while. I'm excited to see him get some praise. You're dead on. He's going to be the biggest, highest paid defensive tackle or defensive lineman probably in the next couple of years. So Can't go wrong. Mike Daniels is the obvious one. I'm going to go a different direction. And this is maybe not necessarily for his play, but the way that Martellus Bennett straight stood up for homeboy when he almost got hit in the head, that's all I care about. That was amazing. I love seeing that. I know that it was a stupid penalty, and I know that Coach McCarthy yelled at him on the sidelines because the cameras were on, but I'll guarantee you in the locker room, he probably gave him a fist bump because I like that. I like that intensity. This is what this team needs. This is what the offense needs, is that intensity and that passion. And that's what Bennett's, that's what he brings. And that's what we've been talking about on this show since the day he got signed, is that he will bring that passion and he'll bring that extra little oomph. And for him to be here for only the short amount of time and to feel free to just straight level someone by pushing him, because that guy basically attempted to go after Rodgers' head, whether you believe it or not. He just, I think if you didn't already love Martellus Bennett, you better love him now. So that's why he will be my playboy of the week. I'll let you start off as schoolboy just to bring it.
You know what? A lot of what you said is true, and I can respect that side of the opinion. And trust me, I'm asking all of our listeners right now to trust me on this, that you and I don't share who we're picking prior.
No, but so I can pretty much figure out what you're doing here, and I'm going to about mute you in 2 seconds.
My schoolboy for the week, my first schoolboy for this season, is going to be your playboy, Martellus Bennett. Mostly because of his play. You know, 3 catches for 43 yards. Yeah, that's a decent average. And I understand it's the first game and it's a long season, but we're basing these picks off of the first week. And I thought it was a little underwhelming as far as offensive production. He did do some good things blocking-wise. I'll give him credit for that. But when you have a high-profile free agent coming in and you're expecting him to be kind of dominant, he kind of was just in the background and just another guy. So for that reason is why I'm picking him as my schoolboy. And just to play devil's advocate to your playboy and kind of make this a little bit more interesting, that penalty, you know, late in the fourth quarter, I understand, I get it. You're standing up for your quarterback. You're kind of setting the tone for the season and what type of person you are, and you're always going to protect that guy and this and that, and it's Aaron Rodgers, blah, blah, blah. Totally get it. On the other side of that coin is it's late in the game and you just got a big play for a first down and you're going backwards. If you don't get another first down, Seattle gets the ball back and you're only up 8. That's a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. Right? Am I right? The score was 17-9 at that point.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a fine line, and I'm all for the sticking up for the quarterback thing, but And I agree with you, McCarthy probably did that for the cameras and to set an example. And he probably, behind closed doors, you know, gave him a pat on the back and said, you know, I understand why you did it, blah, blah, blah. But in the same breath, it could have cost them. And we've seen that with Seattle before, not at Lambeau, but in Seattle, where a couple of little dumb mistakes, an onside kick, a misplayed ball in the air, a terrible call by the refs being caught in the end zone. I mean, the list goes on when it comes to things that have cost Green Bay close games against Seattle. And an 8-point game with a few minutes left on the clock against Seattle is not very comforting. I didn't think that game was for sure in the bag at that point. And, you know, I'm kind of playing devil's advocate because I agree with you. It's awesome to see that support for your quarterback, but if that goes the other way and they don't get another first down and Seattle gets the ball back and they score and get a 2-point conversion and they go into overtime and lose, who's the scapegoat and what is everybody saying about Martellus Bennett's penalty then? I mean, it's okay and we're supporting it and behind them for it because it turned out okay. If it goes the other way, we're blasting them and setting them on fire for it.
Yeah. All right.
But it didn't. Jeez. So, you know, like you said, a win is a win. We'll take it.
Yeah. If anyone needs to comment on that, you can go to @BlaineEHornis I for any comments regarding his despicable choice of schoolboy.
Do you not agree, though, performance-wise in the game, it was a little underwhelming?
To be totally 100% honest with you, the absolute second that he did it, the first thing I said was, oh, crap, now we're going to go, we're going to lose that first down. That was the first thing I said. And then I was like, oh, that's super awesome, because I realized, well, whatever.
It happened after the game.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, yes, we can't really take chances like that. I mean,
You go 3-0 after that. They get the ball back with a minute and a half left. You know, it's 8 points. And it didn't happen, so it's okay, and that's why everybody praises him for it. But let's not forget some of the crazy shit that's happened against Seattle over the last 5, 6, 7 years.
No, we should forget the crazy shit. Because I don't want to talk about it. All right, I'll go with my schoolboy. Again, it's week one. It's hard to really kind of – I mean, thankfully, we didn't have anyone blatant as our schoolboy. I mean, that's the best news. But if I had to pick someone, and I'll base it kind of strictly on a player that you and me and the sweep have been kind of excited about, is Josh Jones, rookie. And this is – it's not that he played terrible. It's not that he's a bad player. It was just we have I guess you could say extreme expectations for him. So I was kind of hoping he'd come out and just light some people up and it would just be, his big coming out party, which is going to happen at some point. So for that reason alone, I'll call him my schoolboy, but I wouldn't call it to his face. I know he'll come around. So for the fans, for the schoolboy, I'll call Josh Jones out. So, which is good, because I hope he hears it and I hope he comes back and just, wallops Austin Hooper from the Falcons. So
just to play another devil's advocate role, because that's what I like to do. That's what I am. I want to point out he's my boy. He's my boy. He's been my boy since the draft. Like, we started doing stuff about the draft. I believe we did an episode probably a couple of months ago now, probably 3 or 4 episodes ago. I said it's going to take him probably until 5 or 6 weeks until he gets more in the rotation consistently, and that's when it's going to happen, and I'm going to stick with that. So just to defend my guy a little bit and try to ease the tension, so if he does end up hearing somehow, some way, something from our podcast, that he's got somebody in his corner, and that's me. Love you, Josh.
Nice.
Hey, leave my man crush to me. I'll take care of it.
Hey, I will never ever doubt your man crush abilities. All right, let's hear from our sponsor, Jim Cooper, out at Copaco.
When's the last time you shouted at the top of your lungs, "Go Pack, go"? Was it today? Was it yesterday? I hope it wasn't all the way back at the NFC Championship. Well, either way, we have a way to scream it every day, and no one will think you're crazy. Well, we welcome crazy. My name is Jim Cooper, and I am the founder of the largest Green Bay Packers fan group on Facebook. With over 30,000 members, this is the place to find it all. From the latest news, to the best fan shares, to knockout giveaways. Go Pack Go, I Bleed Green and Gold is the group for the biggest of Packer fans. Go to Facebook, find the group, get involved, be active, enter for all the giveaways, and always say it loud, say it proud, Go Pack Go.
All right, thanks, Jim. That was the week of Seattle. We had a little bit of excitement, I guess, if you want to consider that, in between Seattle and what we got coming up on Sunday night with the Falcons. Some movement, some surprising movement, I would say, at the least. Packers initially came out and released pretty newly signed Ricky Jean-Francois from the defense line position. Which I was a little confused by, because They had just signed him. It seemed like a decent fit, someone who could kind of come in and plug in some plays. And with Montrevious Adams being out, I thought it was just a good call. So I was a little still surprised that they released him. Then they made it seem as though he had been released for the return of Geronimo Allison, which, okay, that's fine. I understand that, I guess. I know that Geronimo Allison is a fan favorite, and he's done good. I'm not the biggest fan of Geronimo, but I will give him an open slate going into the second year, and I'll be interested to see what he does and how much he's progressed, and if he doesn't do what I would think he should do, then I will not like him, but I'll give him a chance. So that was, I guess you could say, par for course. You know, you got to get rid of somebody to bring someone on. And then the Packers released Ladarius Gunter, which, if you've listened to any of the shows from last year, even coming into this year, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Gunter. I'm not his biggest fan. I'm not going to buy his jersey, and I'm not going to openly make a man crush statement like Blaine just did. But I like him, and I think what he did for us last year was pretty great, pretty remarkable, honestly. We all know about the struggles with the defensive backs. He was slotted at a fourth or fifth option on the DB list going into last year, ended up the season as a number one. You know, he had his bad moments, and come on, guys, he's a fifth option going against Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr., you know, Alshon Jeffrey, all the number ones. And he had to go against him, and he held his own for a lot of those games. He held all those guys and some more under 100 yards. I know it's a team thing, but he was there. I guess my thing with them releasing Gunter, and my question to you, Blaine, is I guess I understand part of why you would do it, but are you really – I mean, is this them basically saying, hey, Rollins and Randall are back, we're good to go?
You know, as much as it might just be me and the way I think about stuff like this, is it just a confidence booster for those guys? Say, hey, you're our guys. Don't worry about Gun. He's gone now. You can breathe. Have a sense of relief. We're confident in you. We're confident with what we've seen through camp and preseason that you guys are the guys. It also, you know, some other situations on the roster kind of open up those things. And where can you afford? How many guys do we have at each position? Where can we afford to get rid of a guy? Like you said, Geronimo is coming back. They only had five wide receivers on the roster, and that's typically short for a Green Bay team. And we kind of discussed that before last week, that we knew somebody was going to get the axe. We just weren't exactly sure who. With the injury situation, having David Bakhtiari, Brian Bulaga, and Jason Spriggs on the injury report the last couple of days, I mean, you got to bring somebody probably up for that. You're probably going to have at least one of those guys inactive this weekend. They might all be on the 53, but probably one of the three not suiting up. So you need another offensive lineman there. And, you know, you look at the Ricky Jean-Francois thing, and he played 6 snaps last week. Do you want to keep another D lineman on the squad who basically can only play D line? I mean, they don't have any value in special teams, really. They don't have the speed or any of that to play a special teams. If they're only playing 6 plays in the rotation on defense, can you stand to lose them? Probably. And if you need to make room for another situation on the roster, you take the guy who isn't doing much for you. You're not going to release a bunch of guys that are playing special teams because you need those guys. That's a third of the game. So when you really break it down and start thinking of some of the reasons why it could be, and I don't know the exact reasons, it's just kind of my opinion of things that could make sense in my eyes. Those are some of the things that it points to. So, I mean, that's where I'm coming from. And I don't know, do you have any other kind of scenarios that make sense? I mean, it seems to be the most logical in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of nailed it on that one. Those reasons makes sense, and you're probably right. I guess my thought process on it was just, you look for depth. You want depth. Why would you get rid of someone who has that kind of experience on as a corner? But I understand. I would rather take him off of his corner spot, if you will, so that we can have another offensive lineman, just because we're so thin on offensive line. So we're going to, you know, you get to a point where you have to sometimes take away someone that you like.
Right. Well, and that's position. The thing is, and I kind of went through the roster and I'm thinking to myself, well, you're not going to get rid of one of the running backs that you just drafted. You know, I mean, you don't really know who the guy is out of those three or who the two guys are out of those three that are going to step up and be the guys. You kind of got to wait and see on that. And if you know that if you release one of them, they're going to get signed. They're not going to make it to the practice squad. It comes down to the decision of who can you afford at this time to get rid of, because no matter who on the 53-man roster you go through and you drop off, it's kind of a surprise because they all made the 53-man for a reason. And they're all obviously quality enough players to make a 53-man roster. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here to begin with. So, you know, it's just the decision they had to make. And I guess who else? I mean, if not them, those two guys, who?
Yeah, there's not really a whole lot.
Right. I mean, anybody else, I mean, we could be talking about any other name and we'd probably be having the same discussion.
Yeah, very true. I guess I was just a little bummed. I was hoping to see him on the team and make an impact, you know, as a two or three or four even potentially. But he's gone. He got signed, picked right up from Carolina. So he will be a Panther and
he'll probably contribute for them.
I think he'll be great. I think he'll get the opportunities he needs. And, I hope the best for him. I think he'll have a pretty good career. And, I'm excited for him. So, but speaking of that, let's move on. Let's get past what happened during the week. Let's get past what happened last week. Sunday Night Football. Green Bay Packers. Atlanta Falcons. In the new Mercedes Dome, which is, have you seen it? It's insane.
I have, and you know, there's been a basketball game and a couple of college games already played there, but
yeah,
it's Atlanta's home opener, stadium opener for them, and I watched McCarthy's press conference today, and they were talking about whether or not the roof was going to be open or the roof was going to be closed, and if that was going to affect what cleats and what kind of equipment the players are going to do, and you know, it's. That's the kind of stuff that I don't think head coaches really worry about. But at the same time, somebody's got to worry about it. So it just adds a whole nother element of home field advantage, because I'm sure Atlanta's going to know exactly what's going on, whether it's raining or whether it's not. I'm sure that they make that decision way before the game starts, whether or not they're going to have the roof open or not. So they'll know the field conditions better than anybody. I mean, it's all part of it. Which is kind of cool. I mean, I think you're going to see more and more NFL stadiums going that way. Lambeau never will, thank God. But it should be kind of a fun atmosphere. I think Green Bay gets these type of games slated to them quite often just because of Pack Nation and the following they get and the fact that Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback. So it's kind of a national spotlight regardless of who they're playing and what stadium they're playing, but it just adds a whole nother element of excitement to a Sunday night football game. And it's a rematch of kind of the blowout that we sustained last year in the playoffs and a redemption game for the Packers and this and that. And you know, the comparisons that you're seeing between Matty Ice and Aaron Rodgers, which are just unfathomable to me because they're not even in the same galaxy, in my opinion. But that's a whole nother topic. But yeah, I mean, the new stadium, Atlanta Falcons, kind of a rematch. It's a big deal, and it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be, you know, like I said, a national game. Probably a potential preview of the NFC Championship once again. I kind of touched on it earlier. I think Atlanta, Seattle, and Dallas and Green Bay are the four teams that are pretty much slated in by pretty much everybody to be there in at the end of the year competing to go to the Super Bowl. So, you know, it's early, and by the time they play again, probably in the playoffs, will be probably two totally different teams, but it's just a good measuring stick to find out where you're at.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I can't wait to kind of see the whole rematch type kind of feel to it. I know that there's going to be a lot of intensity coming from Green Bay side. I know there's a little bit of a redemption feeling there. It's not total. It's probably not as much as some of us fans think, but I think it'll be a fun game. It'll be interesting to play in the new stadium. It'll be interesting to see how many Packer fans are there. I'm sure there'll be a lot because they do travel so well. And then Sunday Night Football, you know, you kind of wait all day for it. You watch all the other games, you get a little antsy, and then it's here. And then it's the primetime, nighttime game. So, yeah, I'm excited to see how things go. I'm excited to see kind of how we progress a little bit from week one. We started, like I said, we started the first half a little rusty. Second half looked good. Now, how do we do the next game? You know, these are huge games. They're games we're going to look back on and probably be like, oh, good thing we beat those teams if we do. So we're going to need all the wins we can get against some of these NFC teams and just kind of get ideas. Yeah, you're looking at our first 2 weeks are probably two teams that we're going to eventually probably see in the playoffs.
It potentially could become important in the playoff scenario. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, you get to the end of the year and a bunch of teams have, you know, 11, 12, 13 wins, and we're tied with Dallas and Atlanta. It could potentially be the tiebreaker.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's
the win against Seattle potentially could be the difference between playing the NFC Championship in Seattle or in Green Bay. I mean, right. Everybody wants to talk about how it's the, you know, we've said it even. It's the first game of the season. Well, it means the same as a Week 10 game.
Absolutely.
As far as in the win column. Now, the style of win doesn't really matter whether it's week one or week 10, but the win is as important as a win that comes in week 10. And it has the same implications as far as tiebreakers as any other game. And these are the ones you have to have. The teams that you think are going to be competing for the 1 and 2 seed, you know, early bye and home field advantage throughout. And if you think it doesn't make a difference, and I know I've kind of beaten a dead horse with this whole Seattle thing, but we know what's happened in the past when we have to go there in the playoffs. So, I mean, Atlanta too. I mean, last year we played them down there and kind of licking our wounds on our way home. So, I mean, that's the type of implications. It's not just a win. It's important for tie-breaking scenarios and home field advantage, you know, in a few months from now. So,
I am going to put a Seattle ticker on you, and you are only allowed to say or reference them once per show, because that was like the fourth time. Yeah, that's it. I'm done. I'm sick of hearing about Seattle. All right. So what do you got? Let's throw out some predictions. You know, if you guys listening out there, fans, you guys can predict the game too. Every single game, Pride and Glory on Facebook. Like I said, go up to that little search button, hit Pride and Glory, and they have game day predictions. You just leave your you like it, you share it, you comment what you think the game's going to be. If you get it right on the dot, and you were the first one to guess it, Pride and Glory usually hooks you up with some cool stuff. So check them
only
out.
Only if Green Bay wins, though, right?
Yes, yeah, only if Green Bay wins. If you say Atlanta's going to win,
even if you're right. Even if you're right, don't win anything.
No, it's only if Green Bay wins. So thank you for mentioning that, so I don't have some angry Atlanta fan messaging me, I told you it was going to be 21-17, man. Well, I don't care, Terry. But all right, so that's a place you can check out predictions. We're going to share our predictions. Blaine, what do you got?
I mean, Green Bay is going to win.
Right.
I think a lot of people are expecting, you know, a 30s score again. I mean, obviously both teams have pretty good quarterbacks, pretty good wide receivers. Atlanta's got some pretty flashy running backs. I think Daniels and crew in our front seven are going to show up again and reap some havoc in the backfield and slow them down a little bit. I see a little bit lower scoring game than I think a lot of people might expect. I'm going to say 24-13 Green Bay. I think the ball control that we showed against Seattle is going to be big again this week. I think that if we can control control the clock and keep the ball out of Matty Ice and Julio Jones's and Devontae Freeman's hands, that's going to be a key factor. I think Aaron Rodgers has the ability to do that, and that's how I see the game going. So 24-13, Green Bay.
All right. I'm going to go 34-31, Green Bay.
Okay.
You know, I think you have points there with it being a little bit lower than what we always expect. But I have a feeling Sunday night got the rust kicked off. I think it's going to be kind of a fest. It's going to be a hell of a game, and I think it's going to be one that we look back on later down in the season and say that was really our moment. We kind of opened up a little bit. I think we pull off the win. I think it could be one of those where we maybe go up a little early, and then the 31 is a little bit more garbage, and it makes it look a lot closer than it was, which is what I'm hoping. So, I think, you know, if we pull off this win, and if we get 2-0, and we got Seattle locked out, and we got Atlanta, I mean, that's a hell of a start to the season.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better start if that's the way it goes. One thing I will say about Atlanta is I did have a chance to watch a little bit of the Atlanta-Chicago game last week, and they, you know, I wasn't impressed. Whether Chicago is a little bit better than originally thought, could be. I'm not buying it because it's the Bears, and they paid Mike Glennon a lot of money to not be very good. They just didn't look. They didn't look Atlanta, playoff Atlanta. I mean, they just didn't look that good. And, you know, maybe it's just still a little bit of the Super Bowl the Super Bowl hangover, the 28-3 thing that everybody keeps talking about. But I just didn't see, they didn't look as energized and ready to go. And I think that's still going to linger a little bit. That's why I'm holding off on saying that they're going to be the offensive powerhouse. I think they'll get there, but I think they're going to start the season a little bit slow on their little Super Bowl hangover. And I think it's a perfect time for Green Bay to take an opportunity and, like I said, get that leg up in the playoff race as far as home field goes. So either way, one of us hopefully will be right, and that's the goal. A win is a win. No matter how they get it, I'll be happy either way.
Yes, a win is a win. I would say that we won it. We won the first full episode back. Our 30th episode, again, I cannot thank all the listeners, our sponsors, Blaine. It's crazy. It's 30. I hope that someday we look back and we're like, man, do you remember that 30th episode? And we're talking about our 150th. So it's been fun. I'm excited. I'm really excited to do another season. We're just getting started. If you guys need to follow us, you guys can find us at packtothefuture.com. That's our home base. Otherwise, you can find us on Facebook, type in the sweep in the search. That's where we're at. Otherwise, you can see us on Twitter at @thesweep_PTTF. We are always around, always ready to talk football. Love posting it. Love talking with the fans about it. It's going to be an awesome season. Big shout out again. Thanks to our sponsors for helping us out. And, it's all happening, man. This is it. This is the season. This is the season to go to the Super Bowl and win it in Minnesota. That's the ultimate goal in my life. So, any final thoughts?
I want everybody to really listen when Fred and I thank the fans. I mean, that you guys are the reasons we do this, and you guys are the ones who allow us to do this and allow us to continue to do this. We love it. It's fun. So when we say thank you, or when Fred's thanking you guys for all the support, we truly mean that together. And we appreciate all the support you guys give us, whether it's just listening or showing up to our events at the Ground Round. Hopefully we can get a couple of more of those planned and get some more of you guys out there so we can kind of put some faces to the names for our questions and stuff like that. But truly, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you. Thank you to the sponsors from me, not only Fred, but me as well. The Ground Round really, really hosts us well and does a lot for us. Jim Cooper with the Facebook group. It's awesome. I enjoy going to it and reading some of the posts that are on there and stories and articles. And then, of course, Pride and Glory Clothing Company. It's the best. I mean, if you guys want some stuff, it's cool stuff, unique stuff, stuff that you can't get anywhere else, that's the place to go. So thank you again, and go Pack.
All right, we'll see you guys next week after the Sunday night game against the Falcons, and hopefully discuss our win. So, like Blaine just elegantly said, go Pack, go baby. You're one of us, one of us, one of us, one of us.